Hello everyone, my name is Osaru Alile, and once again this is the Encounter series. And today, guys, I have with me, you know how guys, I always say that I'm fabulous, but before me there was a man who is Mr. Fabulous himself, and he's called Mr. Fab. And today he's going to be telling us about his numerous encounters with God and his power and healing and all sorts. And I'm just going to even just go right it and say the session today is going to be called Not Today. So please stay with us and listen while Mr. Fab comes on the Encounter series. Okay, guys, we're back, and this is Osaru Alile, and I have Mr. Fab with me, Mr. Fabulous himself, and I'm going to ask him, like I always do, to introduce himself to you guys, our listeners. So, Mr. Fab, please, can you tell our listeners who you are?
All right. Hello. How are you doing, everyone? My name is Fab and Lucy Akinbabajide. Most know me as Fab, and I consider myself fabulous, African and black. All right. What do I do? Who am I? I run a group of companies called the Fab Group, with media interests, publishing, digital products, value-added services, TV production, radio production. We also have the lifestyle side of the business, which is hospitality, basically. And what's the other part? Fashion, which is my passion. And, of course, I'm a father, I'm a brother. Often now. And a son of the Most High God.
Love it. Right. And husband.
Yes, and, of course.
Okay, guys, he said he fashion is his passion, but I'm here with him, and you guys, honestly, if you don't know him, go and Google. Truly, fashion is his passion. He doesn't mess around. But we're going to go right to the crux of this gist. And I guess from starting from the beginning, how you give your life to Christ, if you can share it with our listeners.
All right, it's a very short but interesting story. Well, of course, I had grown up in a Christian family. My mom, you know, attended the Apostolic Church. My father was Methodist. And, you know, we went to church. It was good. I listened. You know, kids church, you know, I would answer all the questions. I would ask a lot of questions. I thought of myself as a Christian. I totally didn't get the concept of actually having to submit and, you know, surrender one's life to Christ until university. So there was this lady. back in, this was September of 2001, I believe. And, you know, I really liked this lady, and I said, you know, I like you, I want to date you. It's like, oh, you want? Okay, that's cool. Just come to my fellowship. I said, oh, really? Okay, I'll come. I mean, anything for you. So I went with her to the Sovereign Army Fellowship, where she was a worker at the time. And there was this gentleman called Bishop Daniel Wilson. He had come in from the United States, and he was ministering, you know, that night. And was such a cool dude, like his baggy jeans, you know, sneakers, his t-shirts, like, so I mean, he just came and I said, wow, so you could actually be like a Christian and be this cool, in quote. And that day I just fell in love with Christ all over again, and right there in my seat I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I prayed that prayer, and I actually totally forgot about Jai from then on. And it was all about Jesus from then on. I mean, I think I told her again, was it last year or 2 years ago, at an event. Like, you know, I chased you to Sovereign Army and then forgot all about you when I met Jesus. But yeah, that's exactly. And I went on to become a worker in the fellowship, eventually joined the church, City of David, you know, where the fellowship basically came from, you know. And the rest, as they say, is kind of history.
Okay, well, that is an interesting story. So you never know how Jesus is going to find you, even in the most unexpected, well, through the most unexpected ways. So I mean, since then, of course, you've continued your life, lived many, many years after that, and we just want to delve into your walk with Christ. And of course, we're in the Encounter series, so there will be some specific stories that you'd like to share with us as to things that have happened where you encountered God's light, His power, or, you know, one thing or the other. So I think, okay, so Mr. Fab, when I started talking to him about, you know, the encounters, he actually had names for his encounters. And I was like, who is this, please? It was actually, for me, I was intrigued. And I'm like, okay, this is interesting. So, I mean, the first one actually doesn't have a name, but, well, the intro, what I say, call it the intro. So let's call this the intro. So over to you.
All right. Maybe I'll call this the babe. Another babe.
Another babe.
So, yes, I mean, I dated this girl eventually. There was this particular year when I was praying to God to reveal who I was going to get married to. To me, and fortunately or unfortunately, I had 7 different ladies who fit the exact profile of who I was looking to marry, and I eventually got so confused. But then I said to myself, God is not the author of confusion. So I said to him, God, okay, you know what, I'll just let all these ladies go away, and then whichever one of them, you know, stays in touch, keeps calling, and I'll just assume that, you know, that's the person that you want for me. And then there was this particular one who kept in touch, who kept calling, and I said, okay, I think this is it. And I just zeroed in on that. I mean, at age 21, I would always tell myself I needed to get married at 25 so that I could be more focused. I'm not trying to be chasing babe all over town. Like, I'll be very focused on my work and, you know, living out my purpose. We dated for a number of years. I think close to about 6 years. And we had a great Christian relationship. We had purpose not to, you know, sleep with each other, to, you know, till we got married, till our wedding night. And we kept it that way. I think I was mentioning to you earlier how we kissed probably 5 times in 6 years.
No, wait, he's saying kiss, please. He's saying kiss. There's kiss and there's kiss. So he means peck.
We actually pecked 5 times, you know, held hands a couple of times. You know, it was very, I mean, under the, you know, leading and, you know, tutelage of Pastor Escomfon at the time, you really couldn't, you know, you couldn't mess around. It was just like unheard of. So we kept it that way until a revelation. A revelation came. I'm trying not to be
I mean, like, if you share how the revelation came to you.
Yeah.
Well, you had said that, okay, God was speaking to you through your dreams, I guess.
No, so here is how it happened. So something, God wanted to call my attention to something that had been happening. And I guess because, you know, when you're totally sold out or you're totally immersed in God, you hear, mm-hmm. and He speaks in different ways. He nudges you in different ways. So at 1 a.m. on a particular night, I just received the nudge. I got up from my bed, picked up my phone, almost as if I was in a trance, and I saw the time. It was 1 a.m., but I went ahead to call my babe at the time. And the first thing that would come out of my mouth, totally out of my control, was, is there somebody else? So this happened, you know, 3 nights in a row, same time. I got different responses all of the 3 times. And interestingly, that same night, God just revealed to me exactly what was going on. And when I found out, I was pretty distraught. Having invested that much time, you know, when you know you're just totally sold out. I go to work every day thinking, you know, I'm building something for us. Mm-hmm. It wasn't for me anymore. So I was totally broken. But after a few weeks, I picked myself back up and said, you know what? We all sin. We all come short of God's glory, and He forgives us when we ask for forgiveness. And I said to myself, if she asks for forgiveness, I was going to forgive her and I was going to propose to her same day. I told a few friends, they thought I was crazy.
I would imagine.
Said I was just totally, absolutely nuts. But I waited. It didn't happen. Eventually, we broke up. And at the point where we broke up, I told God, you have failed me. And I wouldn't have nothing. I didn't want to hear nothing. I wasn't open to the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I was just done. So at that point, I stopped. I remember that particularly was December 2006. Yeah, I believe that was it, 2006. And just Christmas Eve, like everybody should be, you know, excited. And, you know, and I remember I was actually really sick at that on that day. But I went back home, packed the bag, called. I don't think I should mention his name. He's a very good friend who was excited to hear that I was happy to just be, you know, get back into the clubs and, you know, get into that lifestyle all over again. And, you know, pack the bag, move to the island, and we're just partying, and we went crazy, we went wild. Anyone who, as I shared earlier, who had as much as winked at me at that time, you know, I chased and, you know, down, and I was basically slipping around. It was a crazy lifestyle, one that I had known back in the day, the early days of me being in a record label and running a record label then. So I did that. I didn't want to hear anything from God. I said, please just leave me alone. People will call from church, oh, we haven't seen you in a while. I'm like, oh, no, sorry, I'm no longer with you guys. You know, me, I go to the clubs now. Yeah, I'm just fine. Just leave me alone. And interestingly, in that same period, I started to meet people who just had all kinds of, you know, ridiculous views as to Christianity, its origin, that I got to a point where it was so bad that I said, you know, maybe when I even pray in Jesus' name, God is upset. If He really is a jealous God, you know, maybe He doesn't even, you know, it was really bad. But at some point, after living this life for a while, and I'd like to quickly relate this to scripture, you know, as it concerns raising children. You know, train up your child in the way he should go, and when he grows up, he won't depart from it. What happens when you're raising these kids is you're planting a seed, and that seed will always be there. The kids may miss it, but because that seed is there, they will always come back. They will always find their way back to God. So what happened to me is after a while, I just found that I wasn't enjoying that lifestyle. And I told myself, I want to get married, you know, because I want to come home to one person that shares my sorrow, my joys, my successes, my pain, you know. So I said, okay, fine. In that same year that I prayed about, you know, finding my wife, I actually had 7 people come through. So I wrote the list of the other 6.
After the one had gotten loose. So
yeah.
Many 6 women standing.
Yeah. So, you know, I called on the first one, and it was funny. It was very interesting. And I actually like to advise men, because then I was very logical about it. Yeah. I'd come to know and understand myself more. And I told myself, oh, okay, dude, you're not the most patient of people. You need someone who is very, extremely patient. You know, so I was very, very logical about it. And I created tests, actually. I won't go into the details for each of this. And the first person I called, I remember her, you know, very well. I don't know if I should go into details of how. She said, I'm not doing it again.
She didn't pass the test.
You know, I remember the test actually involved, we'd gone out a couple of times, and one of the tests was I took Okada to go see her. And the very next day she called me and said, I don't think this is going to work. I said, yes, I know. It's absolutely not going to work, you know, because I knew where she was coming from. She had expectations. And, you know, I just wanted to know that this person, whoever it was there for me and not for what they assumed that I was or that I had. So that was very quickly. It didn't last more than 6 weeks. And then I moved on to number two. And number two happens to be my wife of close to 10 years
now.
I happen to know her, so me, I'm excited. I'm like, hey.
You know, so I called her, and she's like, this guy called me out of the blues after, you know, so long. And I think by the second or third time I was calling her, I said to her, like, Damilola, I think you may be my wife. And you know, what I would like for you to do for me is just be 100% open with me. And I will also show you all that I am and all that I am not in that time. So we can quickly make a decision as to whether or not, you know, we're meant to be together. And I remember she would later tell me, she called our best friend, who would later be at the chief bridesmaid, and said, "What's this guy? This guy is nuts. Like, he called me and told me, I mean, I might be his wife, and I should have, like, what the hell?" And the girl was like, "Oh, I've always known him, and you know, just give it a shot. Like, he seems like a good guy." And okay, so she gave it a shot. After about 2 months, I already knew that this was my wife, and I told her that you're the one that I'm meant to marry. So I know you're going to want to pray about it, so please do. And in that time, I was also very honest about where I was spiritually. Mm-hmm. You know, she knew that I'd gone through an experience. I didn't care much for church. She was encouraging me at the time, but I mean, I was very open. I didn't lie. I didn't sugarcoat anything. But a few weeks later, she got a conviction. I remember that day clearly. She had come to my house for the first time, brought a cake, and then I opened it up and the cake said yes. And, you know, that was really exciting. So I think that was September, maybe. Yeah, September of 2007, I think so. So I started dating. By February of the next year, I proposed to her. I think a few people know about that proposal. February 14 that year, and then the next year we got married. So I need to now, so about 2 years ago, so I'll come back to the babe. About 2 years ago, I just felt the urge. So I was traveled to South Africa, so I was doing a project there, and I'd flown Kenya Airways, and my ex happened to be in Nairobi. Should I share this part? Anyway, Holy Spirit, help me. Yeah, you know. So I mean, I just felt the urge to go see her, and I told my wife, you know, I want to go see this lady, and she said, "Oh, by all means, please see her when you're in Nairobi," and we ended up talking late into the night, and one of the things that I would, you know, I wouldn't say I discovered, because I just felt it was a revelation at the time. Because there are times you open up your mouth and you intend to say certain things, and you just find that, you know, the Holy Spirit just takes over and you're just going in a different direction. And I ended up asking a few questions, where she was in her relationship and all of that. You know, with relationships with, you know, and she said, well, she's got a few people, but she just can't seem to find what she's looking for. She's not. And then it just came out. Now I'm not bragging. I said to her, and it wasn't me, I said, "You will not find me in all of those other guys. So you need to be very, very clear on what you're looking for." So like I said earlier, if it's 10 items, and I've advised people, you know, if it's 10 items, you find 8, look at the remaining 2. Is it something you could totally live without if he doesn't, you know, learn those things or become those things? So please just stop looking for me. She didn't argue about it, so I knew that it's probably, you know, the direction she was going. Thank yous and all that. Left Nairobi. Then I would later see her at a wedding, the December of the same year. And I saw her come in with a gentleman, you know, and said, so by the time she got to me, she was alone. I'm like, where's the gentleman you walked in with? I said, oh, he's somewhere around. I was like, oh, who is he? So it's one of those guys, you know, likes me. And like, okay, please, can I have a chat with this guy? And yes, she went and brought him to me. We had a chat. And after about 30 minutes, I just pulled out to the corner. I'm like, this guy is your husband. Like, why? If you miss this, then you've just missed it totally. And she's like, oh, really? It's like, yes, this is he's a good man, you know. Well, I thank God they got married some months ago. And and this is somebody that, I mean, even in the, you know, my wife would pray for her, like, all of the time, that God would allow for the bone of her bone, the flesh of her flesh, to find her, you know. And, you know, so it's, she's always been on our minds. You know, we talked earlier about also how it's really difficult to love someone and then stop. You know, I can't imagine ever stopping loving, you know, my daughters. You know, no matter what they did, you know, what, I could never stop loving them. And I think that's the same way God is with us. He never, nothing can separate us from his love. So, yeah, where do we go now?
Okay, so he's told us the story where everything sprung from and how you derailed. So, I mean, in between this story, I think there's some parts that you should share. Yes, how you got back into the church. So, of course, disappointments from the relationship, the beginning with the babe, the beginning relationship with the babe happened, and he strayed from God. And then, of course, you were like, oh, okay, you know what, this life does not make sense. I don't like this. Then you found Dammy the Great. And then, you know, started that relationship. You guys get married. But, of course, there's a point where you actually gave your life back to Christ. It may not have been like the same way it happened at the time. Mm. But so what exactly happened? Why did you, when did you realize that, okay, no, I need to come back into, you know, God's way? And I think there wasn't there a name for this part. What did you call it again? I can't remember. Oh wait, no, this was the scary one. That's something about caskets, headquarters, or
yes. Okay, I mean, we'll get into that as well. So yeah, I mean, what happened is, so I'd stopped going to church, and before I got married, I mean, at some point, I'm still talking to God, and God was always engaging me. Mm. I could hear him. We'll talk. He probably knew I was upset, but I'm sure he was laughing at me the whole time. Like, you know, I have another plan for you, and, you know, it's a better plan, but you're trying to. So what happened is, someday I told God, I said, you know, I love you because I know you created me. You know, you created the heavens, and I absolutely love you. But I just don't know anymore. I don't know what this is about. I don't know if going to church is it. I don't know if Christianity is the way. I don't know if it's even the only way. I don't know if Jesus is really your son. I don't know, you know. And all he told me was, where two or three are gathered in my name, my manifest presence is there. Go to church. I said, really? I said, go to church. I said, okay, no problems. So, I mean, as a worker in the church, you're required to wear a suit and tie, you know. Every Sunday, I would wear my kaftan.
So that they know that.
So then really I'm not really there. I'm not with you people. So I would go to church and then sit at the back of the church. And then everybody's praying in Jesus' name. I'm like, hey, what if praying in Jesus' name, God is actually jealous, you know, because he's a jealous God. But slowly, as I stayed in his presence and I worshipped, you know, he revealed himself to me once again. And, you know, I had a better understanding of who he was and how he operates. And the fact that he knows the end from the beginning. And you can never, ever be ahead of him. You can never know more than he knows. And he always has the best intentions. You know, whatever it is that's going on with you, he sometimes is trying to even push you back. You know, just set you back on the right path. But he needs to throw some things on the path that you're used to. So you go back on, you get back on course. So that happened. But in the process of, you know, being away and all that, you know, I believe that a lot of, in the course of sleeping with other people, you actually exchange spirits. You exchange, there's a lot of exchange that's going on. And in that time, I did pick up something which manifested in me having some, you know, you think they're dreams, but I was there, I was present, I knew what was going on. And you don't keep having the same dreams. It's not possible. You appear in the same place, see the same people, see the same setup every day for weeks, and you know, it's not possible. So I call this the village square. Village. Yes. So I would find myself in sort of like a village square. You know, there's a throne, an exalted platform with someone, a being sitting on it. And then there were loads of other people, you know, basically worshiping this being. And I'll find myself there just watching, like, what the hell am I doing here? How did I even, you know? And I'll be, you know, there's something pushing me, go and join in this. And I would resist and resist. So it happened days over days, you know. I kept experiencing the same thing, but I kept resisting. And then I fell very sick. And I was bedridden for a while. And, you know, my mom, I was treated, but I wasn't getting better. But every single night, I would have the same experience. So it was almost from the spiritual world, they were trying to shut me down in the physical because I was, you know, resisting joining whatever, you know, this thing was. And after a while, I had another. So I left that particular spot. So maybe now that I think of it, it might have been like the original training ground. Like maybe those are entry level people. That's where they come. Then it moved me to this place that I call the Casket headquarters. You know, so I got to this place. It was a high rise building, maybe about 15 stories up. But on the ground floor, it looked like a warehouse with loads of caskets just stacked on the wall from the top to the bottom. There are ladders, you know, where you can climb up to reach your casket. And people were going in to these caskets picking stuff. So it's like they were picking tools. And I would see them leave the warehouse into what looked like the real world. And they were causing problems. Like, you would just find one of these guys, they were dark beings. So when they appeared, I could see them. You know, and you see normal people, maybe two people, friends, just going, and all of a sudden they get there and a fight breaks out and, you know, somebody kills somebody. You know, I was just seeing a lot of those things happening on the outside, just looking out. Like, why, what am I doing here? You know, so I was there for a couple of days. And then they say, you know, every time somebody will bump into me, like, why are you doing just standing around? Get to work. Have you gotten your tools? Like, tools? What tools? Like, so there was this particular day where I was now forced up the stairs. I think that's where I was meant to do the final, like, induction and get my tools. But apparently people had been praying for me, and a lot had been going on, even though I was not super conscious anymore. But what happened is that a being, it was dark, but it was really big, like, you know, a giant just came. And once he walked into the room, everybody just backed off, like, and he just said, let him go. And he took me by the hand, brought me down the stairs, and led me out of the building. So as I was going out of the building, I could see, you know, more of these beings, you know, all over the place. And I didn't know when I just said Jesus. And every time I would say Jesus, they would just stop dead. And they would freeze in their tracks. So I said, Jesus, wow. And I saw them freeze. So I just started shouting, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And they kept freezing till I now came back, you know, to myself. And I believe that 24 hours, I was out of the bed. So I'd been delivered, you know. That was God sending his angel to just come, you know, deliver me from that situation. Yeah.
That's, I mean, honestly, to me, these are not the kind of stories that you hear every day. And I feel like the truth is that you were in a very strange spiritual realm that you knew nothing about. Mm-hmm. As even as you're telling this story now, you probably don't even know to the extent at which you were entered into some crazy stuff. But there was something that you said that was important, which is that there were people who were consistently praying for you while all this was happening. And something was happening in the spirit, which was affecting you also in the physical. So you were in some weird spiritual realm, and in the physical, you were, your body was sick. And you know, sometimes I feel like this happens a lot to people, where you are sick physically and you just think that, oh, I'm sick, and you don't realize that there's actually something more happening in the spiritual. And while we're talking earlier, there's something that you also said, that you said, whatever it is that happens in the physical form,
its origin is
from the spirit. So we may not realize it, but there's, before anything happens in the physical form, there's something that happened in the spirit that, that manifests in the physical. And so in this case, the people who were praying for you were obviously fighting your battles with the spirit, and you may not even have known about it. So we can't just be looking at things with our plain eyes the way they actually are. So we need to be very sensitive. And you also said something that even if you were not sensitive, some people were intercessing and were sensitive on your behalf. So that is a crazy story. And this all happened at the point where you thought, I'm done with God and I'm out. And he still delivered you because, like you said, he's the Father and he just loves.
He
just loves us. And he somehow was like, no, this is my child, and I'm just going to make sure that he gets out of this. So you come out of this situation and you're much better. You feel much better physically. And at this point, were you married at this point? No, you weren't. Okay, so then you continue life. And, you know, so you come out of it and people say, oh, you've been sick. Oh, how are you feeling now? I'm fine, better. You move on with your life, going to work, smiling with people, and they don't realize what could have happened. So you continue with life, moving around, and we called this one the, I just need to be saying these names because me, I thought they were pretty pretty exciting. The Village Square and the Casket Headquarters, and we passed that. And then we go next into what Mr. Fab calls the Giant Killer. And, you know, let him tell you guys this story, because I was going to say what I thought about it, but let him tell you. So, okay, so tell us what happened with the Giant Killer.
Okay. All right. So I started this project. I mean, I had some partners, taking a couple of loans and, you know, to do a project, a business project, a building project in GRE in Ikeja. That's where we're sitting right now. And I mean, we run out of money a couple of times. Things were pretty tough. We didn't know why. We didn't know how we missed it, because, you know, we had counted the cost now before we started the project. But it just looked like everything was just getting ridiculous. And eventually got to a point where I had to sell my wife's car, put the money in the project. We're working with one car. You know, my car shut down after a while. I couldn't even fix it because I put all the money in the project. So, I mean, I had to revert to a car that we had purchased for my mom, which she was no longer using. I mean, the car, oh my goodness. You know, the car was a 406 manual car, just back there, like holes in the roof. The windows wouldn't go up, but it would start and it would move once you put fuel in it. And, you know, so we were using that car. It was a very, like, dark period in our lives. It just almost looks like God wasn't present anymore. And, you know, so we're just wondering what's really going on. But even in that time, I would find myself, one of the things that gave me solace was the presence of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes I'll be driving to work, like I told you earlier, I'll pack my clothes, you know, put in the back seat, put in some plastic wrapper so that no water can get to it, because it was rainy season at some point. You know, I'll get splashed with water and I'll just be like, glory to God. Like, at least I still even have a car to move with. And I would always, like I said, I would always invite the Holy Spirit, you know. And it's something we've been taught back in the day to just call the Holy Spirit by his names, the Spirit of Judgment, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Christ, the Eternal Spirit, and just inviting to just feel your being, you know, just take over your spirit. And whenever that happens, I just find myself in a different space. I'm just happy. I'm just knowing that this is just part of the process, you know, and you just need to go through this to arrive at the destination. And one of the things I used to tell my wife as well is that this is This is so that the testimony
would be
complete and will be amazingly, you know, big, because we're going somewhere. But still, you'd find yourself, I mean, so here I am saying, Father, Holy Spirit of the living God, come in the fullness of your power. I would say, Holy Spirit, you're the spirit of burning. Just you come as the fire and consume my being. Just consume my every infirmity within my being. Consume it. Come as the water and just cleanse me. Come, Holy Spirit of the living God, come. Even as that water and just quench my thirst. Come, Holy Spirit, as the breath of God and just breathe new life into me. You know, whatever is dead, let it come as that mighty rushing wind and part every Red Sea situation in my life. So these are things I'm in my car and I'm just speaking. It's not even my car, my mother's former car, you know, and praying all of these things. And there was a time my sisters were, so I've got three sisters. I'm the only boy, I'm the first child, you know, and one of them, the last of my sisters, said, you know, I think you need to just come and have a word with my pastor. I mean, he's a prophet. I said, okay, no problems. Open. I went in to see him, and immediately I walked through the door. You know, it's just like, wow, you're going somewhere, and the devil sees it clearly, but he doesn't want you to get there. That's why you're going to, but then you get through it. And some of these things you brought on yourself. And when he started to say this, I said, well, I think a lot of these things may have come through sexual interactions and is that you brought on yourself, but see, you're going to fight this battle and you will win it. And he gave some scriptures and said to pray, you know, fast and pray for 3 days using those scriptures, and that by the third day I would start to, some things will be revealed to me. I said, okay, thank you. Initially I was, you know, resisting it because I was feeling this pain. You know, I'd gone through every scan possible, every test. I was feeling this pain in my abdomen that would, you know, it would just come very intense. And I told him, I don't think I can fast now. And he said, okay, fine. If you can't fast, just do a vigil, 3-night vigil, and praying these prayers, and you should be fine. But then I go home. I said, no, you know what? I don't care. This, well, if I perish, I perish. I'm doing this fast. So I went ahead with the fast, prayed the prayers. Third day, went to sleep. And then I saw myself walking into... from the cantonment end, walking into GRA in Ikeja. And I looked back and saw about 3 giants, big, you know, dudes following me. So I'm like, they didn't look like they had any good intentions.
Well, was this in real life? Or it was in a dream or in your mind? Like, how did this...
It wasn't a dream. So I went to bed. So it looked like I was dreaming it. So it was daytime in the dream, and they were following me. And then as I took the corner into Isaac John Street, I noticed that there were more coming from the other side. So I just ran back to Adekunle Fadri, well, for those who know the GRA layout, and tried to make my way to Odudua Way. I started running, and they were chasing me. So by the time I got to Odudua Way, which is where my office and business is located, I ran into my office, locked it all up. Then they were trying to break in. They kept hitting the door, you know, the doors, and there was a lot of them. I think they must have been close to 30 or thereabouts. So at some point, when I could see that they were about to break in, I said, you know what, God, I'm going out. I'm going to fight. If I'm going to die here, I'll die. And I'll come and meet you, Abby, you know. And I just opened up the doors and started to fight. And for each and every one of them, I would lift them up at some point, as big as they were, and slam them on the floor. Their heads would crack open and they die. So I kept fighting like that. It was very, very intense till the very last one was dead. Then I woke up. And I woke up very exhausted. I was so tired. And I knew that something had happened, you know. And from that moment onwards, like, doors just started to open and the projects were completed, and, you know, we commenced business.
Guys, honestly, it sounds like we're watching. I feel like I'm listening to a movie. Like, it doesn't sound real. I'm just like, what are you talking about? You're fighting who? But this is just further confirms that so much happens in the spirit realm that translates into the physical. So he's talking about work and money and, you know, business and things not going right. And meanwhile, there are people chasing you in your dreams. And then you end up fighting them and killing all of them. And then in the physical, everything starts working out as well. It sounds surreal, but it is life. Like, we have to understand that we're spirits first before we are body and physical. So all these things, they do happen. Just the more you tune in, is the more the realization comes that something like this is happening. But one thing that I want to note in what you said was that one of your sisters said, there's too much going on. You need to see someone. Like, just come and speak to your pastor about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that sometimes people shy away from talking to people about things that they're going through. But there are people that have experienced similar things to what you're experiencing. Like, for example, now someone might be listening to this and thinking that, something similar is happening to me, or like, okay, this sounds like a good advice that maybe I should go and pray about this for a while and seek God's face concerning this. So you could have continued life and just thinking, amen, let's just keep going. Things seem like they're not happening, but I'm going to keep working as hard as I can in the physical, go to work early, you know, work more, call more people, do networking. And everything would have just kept feeling like it was failing. Mm-hmm. But it was when this pastor who you said he was strong and, you know, prophetic, whatever. That's not even the point. He was able to identify that something is wrong. Mm-hmm. You just need to separate yourself for a while, mm-hmm. and pray about this, and God will reveal to you. And he actually did, mm-hmm. you know. But that's also because you took that time out to go and do exactly what he asked you to mm-hmm. do. And you're able to get the results from mm-hmm. it. And for me, I think it's extremely key. Like, mm-hmm. it's key to be able to separate yourself sometimes, spend that time in prayer, fasting. I mean, the word says it. It's not like, mm-hmm. if you actually did not take that time to do that, there's a possibility that you can still be in that same struggle till today. True. So that time that you took, 3 days, what is 3 days in the grand scheme of things, mm-hmm. you know? And it's not, there's no technique or mechanical, you know, thing to it, or mathematics, and say, it has to be 3 days or whatever. It's just at that point, that was what you needed to push through, mm-hmm. you know? And of course, like I said, God came through. And I mean, that's super amazing. Mm-hmm. And then, there's something else, sorry, I always remember that you noted. You said you were sick physically, like your tummy was hurting, and it would just feel like, I can't fast. Mm-hmm. But something struck in your mind and you said, you know what, I'm going to do this. Mm. And I just want, for me, it's important for us to know that it's not like fasting is good, yes, but it's not that, it's the fasting, it's the mindset behind it. Mm. So in your head, you thought, okay, I need something, this is something is going on and I need breakthrough on this. Mm. What do I do to push through? To show that I'm serious, one, and number two, I understand what is going on with me is complete, is very serious as well. So it seemed like, physically you couldn't do it, but you were like, nope, I'm going to push through and ensure that I do this thing to the very end. And the pastor himself didn't even tell you that, no, you must fast. If you don't fast, this, mm-hmm. he said it, it's okay, but just make sure that you pray it through. But you made up your mind. Mm-hmm. So there was some sort of, there could have been resistance for me to say, I'm going to do only half, mm-hmm. but you pushed through and, you know, and I'm saying this for the third time, and God came through. that is a very interesting encounter that you did have. And we call that one the giant killer, where Mr. Fab in the spirit was literally fighting all these giants. Yeah, and, you know, and you couldn't have done that on your own, of course. Oh. Like, there's no way. It's also because of the prayers and everything that you ask God to help you and be your shield on that. After the Giants Killer, there was the crossover. Guys, you don't understand. I feel like we're writing a book here. This is so exciting to me. The crossover. So I'm going to hand over to Mr. Fab again to just tell us what then happened at this crossover stage in his walk, or, you know, his encounter stories. So hold on.
All right. So you remember that I mentioned the pain that I was feeling in my, and, you know, it had gotten to a point. Imagine a doctor, you know, we've done all the tests possible, and the doctor saying, please don't take offense, because he's a pastor as well. Say, don't take offense, but I think you need to pray about this pain you're having, because apparently it wasn't physical, or, you know. So initially, I'm just like, this guy just doesn't know what he's talking about just yet. Like, let's. But then there was this day. You know, it was still with the 406. The 406 was, was the car that I drove to the hospital that day. You know, that I woke up with the intense pain in my abdomen, and I could feel myself, I could feel like life was leaving me, even in my bed that morning. And, you know, my wife couldn't understand it, but I just kept saying, not today, not today, not today. You know, at some point, okay, they're praying, you know, they called my mom up, she's also praying, and but I just said, no, I'm going to the hospital. So I basically almost crawled because I couldn't stand upright to the car. I drove barely seeing, you know, because my wife couldn't drive the stick shift, the manual thing. So I had to drive, you know, and drove myself to the hospital. I remember that day I left the car in the middle of the road, left the doors open. Yeah, left the doors open and basically dragged myself into the hospital, you know, where I was given a bunch of injections. And all I just knew, I got there, they were trying to do stuff, but I just passed out. So I passed out, and at some point I found myself, you know, it's like I was walking through a field of green, like elephant grass, you know, the very green. And then I just came out onto a road. The road was very, very wide. And I looked to the left and to the right. It looked like a never-ending road. But at some point on the other side, I saw five to seven beings. They just came from the other side of the road, stood on the other side, and almost in unison, they were beckoning to me, just with their hands, to come over, you know. So I was trying to process that for a quick second, like, why are they asking me to go? Who are they? You know, they were in, you know, all white, they were glowing, it was, they looked really good, but
yeah, like, no,
I mean, they kept saying come, and all that just came out from my mouth was, not today, not today, not today. And you know, I just came back to myself. I felt my spirit like returning to my body. And my mother-in-law and my wife, they were in the room, and they were talking for over an hour. Like, I could hear them. I was trying to move my finger, move something so they know that I'm aware, they could come, you know, just attend to me or whatever, but I couldn't move. And later when I would tell them that, I actually heard everything you said, they were shocked. You know, I told them I heard you say ABC. They were shocked because they knew that I was totally passed out and there was no way I could have hurt them. But, well, not today.
Wow. That, I don't know. What to me, it sounds like maybe like, would you say like an angelic encounter? Those people that were calling you from the other side, maybe the angels of death or something. I don't know. I'm trying to say, yeah, come to the other side. And you're like, no, not today. After that, I'm guessing that, you know, you were at the hospital, and the doctor had actually told you that this thing you should go and pray about it. So you're at the hospital. So were you able to get your healing, or, you know, were you still there for a while and then you moved out?
So the moment, the time when I actually got my healing was when I attended a program. It's called the Sorting Out program. You know about it. And it was there that I was delivered from that pain. For the first time ever in my life, you know, I see people being, you know, being laid, hands laid on them, and they'll just pass out and all that fall. So I've always, like, you know, like, okay, well, I'm not cut out for this, because every time they lay hands on me, I just walk away, you know, I'm fine. But this particular encounter, the guy laid his hands on me, my head, and on the point where I feel the pain, and I just felt myself almost like I was levitating, and then all of a sudden I come to myself and I'm on the floor, and that was it. That was the end of that that pain. Yeah.
And again, after that, emphasizes the fact that it was not a physical ailment. I mean, I don't even think any sickness is actually supposed to be anyway. But that's a different story for another day. Guys, honestly, I think you should write a book, by the way. But that's another story. For me, the key points here were the fact that he was sensitive enough to understand what was happening. So you went into this interesting realm again where you said you saw grass and then you saw these people telling you to come over. And you started saying not today from earlier on in the day, not even realizing what was about to happen. So your spirit man was quickened even before this encounter with them, you know, telling you to come over to the other side, you know, at the end of the road. And, you know, I'll go to the beginning of the story because we're about to wrap up now. What time is it? We're about to wrap up now. I'll go to the beginning. Okay, the beginning of this story, and just say that, you know, the things that I notice is there's a life of a man who knew that God existed and somehow wanted him on his side. That's how I see it. Sometimes not necessarily as close to this very God as other times, but then at the same time there was always something in your head that said, you know, I need God's guidance, and I just don't want him to let me go. And if everybody's walk is different, like your own story itself of how you even came to God in the first place is even funny. So everybody's walk is different. We're walking with God and so many different things happen. We have different encounters we can explain, the ones that we cannot explain, but something stands sure is that God is God and he loves us all the same. Like no matter what it is that happened, you strayed, you came back, and still he was delivering you from whatever it is that was happening at the time. And number 2 points is that this world is not, we're not in the physical. So guys, please just pay attention. If you're just pay attention and just ensure that your eyes are open to what's happening in the spirit, so that you don't miss out on things that are happening in your life and it would be out of quote unquote ignorance. For me, I think this has been very, 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 very eye-opening for me, and I'm even going to ask him a couple more questions offline, but it's I don't know. I mean, if you guys have any encounters that are similar, you know, just think about how to be able to key into what God is saying, you know, regarding your life or whatever it is that is happening. And I'm just going to allow Mr. Fab to wrap up this exciting stories that we've heard today. And I hope you guys have learned something, because I have. I've definitely learned about, you know, just staying in connection with God and all of that. So let me just wrap up and maybe just talk to, you know, to people who might be going through similar things to what you did go through, and maybe say a prayer for, like, you know, just to help us to be able to get through this. Because I think that's what this whole series is about. It's about us sharing our stories and our encounters so that we can encourage other people, encourage them in part and also in part. So I'm just going to allow you to say the last word because we're rounding up now. And Mr. Fab, please just say the last word to our listeners.
Right. So she said it's a story. The story is still continuing. Because as long as Jesus hasn't come back, we intend to live a long and fruitful life and impact our generation, live out our purpose. But one thing that I tell people, and I think it will be a great takeaway, I tell a lot of Christians, is you need to learn to hear from God. I think when the Bible talks about being built up into the full stature, you know, of Jesus Christ, is where we're so intimate with God that for every step we take, for every move we make, for, you know, everything that seems unclear, we can actually talk to him because he sees all, he knows all, and he can guide us, you know. So the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I think that's one thing that's missing in the church today, that power that accompanies having, carrying the presence of the Holy Spirit with you everywhere you go, is the problem. That's a problem we really have today, because if we're really building Christians to the full stature of Christ, like I was sharing with a pastor yesterday, there are certain things that the pastor doesn't need to come to the pulpit to say, oh congregation, you must do this, we need to do this project, and because everybody is carrying that same spirit. So God should have actually spoken before you open up your mouth. to even say, this is what the Spirit of God is saying. The Spirit should have communicated it to everybody. So we need to be conscious that we carry the Spirit of God. We must not grieve the Spirit so that He's silent. And when we know that we've grieved the Spirit, we should be conscious enough to invite the Holy Spirit back. Every time you say, come back, I'm sorry, please just come back. The Holy Spirit will come back. And if you allow Him leave, your spirit can't be in a vacuum. Another spirit will take over. And before you know it, you're operating in another realm. So, I mean, if there's anything that I want anybody to take away from my life, the life I'm still living, I err. Don't get it twisted. I err. But God wants us to. You will fall 7 times. Get up and go back. So for everyone who may be experiencing setbacks, I pray that that same Spirit of God, you know, that loosens chains. You remember the story when Paul and Silas were, you know, locked up and they just prayed. And then the presence of God, which is the Holy Spirit, came into that situation. They were loosened. I pray that that same Spirit will come upon you and that situation now in Jesus' name, and that you will be set free. And in that freedom, you would realize that you're only bound to Christ, and that Christ Himself would become the essence of your being in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you guys for listening. And once again, you're with the Encounter series. And see you next week. I'm such a nerd. Once again, thank you so much, guys, for listening. And it's Osaro Alile with the Encounter series. Please, like I always say, share, Facebook, Instagram, wherever, and make sure you subscribe and follow. You never know who this series might encourage or might help one way or the other. And thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.